I guess I have a apropos subject for today. God is faithful to deliver us. But actually, today, we deal with so many situations and circumstances and trials and trouble, test. It seems time every time you turn around, there's something's going haywire. Anybody with me, or am I the only guy around that's happening? Oh, I got some company. Good. Let's read from what the Apostle Paul had to say in 1 Corinthians 6, 8 and 9. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door is open to me, and there are many adversities. The New Living says it like this. In the meantime, I'll be staying here at Ephesus until the festival of Pentecost. There is a wide open door for a great work here, although many oppose me. I mean, Paul's talking about it, that he has a great opportunity to preach the gospel, but he has some opposition. The great apostle Paul, he is excited about this opportunity, and he adjusts his plans even though there's opposition. He's not stating this in a matter of being fearful. He is stating this. It's a fact. You know, sometimes we need to realize that some things are facts and state the facts in the natural and then state the facts of God's word. He mentions all this not as a statement of fear. He just saying, hey, this is what's going on. He's writing Timothy, just letting Timothy know what. Now, you know, this verse should be able to help you in whatever you're going through. Whether you're in God's will or not, there's going to be adversities. Some people want to say, well, because I'm having all this difficulty, I must not be in the will of God. Well, let me tell you what. Neither the absence nor the presence of adversity is an indicator of what the will of God is. That's the enemy trying to get you all messed up. You see, he did not get out of Ephesus because there was opposition. He preached it anyway. His attitude was that God would take care of him. God would deliver him. And we must get to that position our own selves, that whatever we face, whatever comes into our lives, we have a confidence that God will deliver us. A confidence. I mean, when you have confidence in something, I don't know how to put it other than on the athletic field, if you don't have confidence or believe you can, you don't even attempt. Confidence is something that gives you the power to go forward against everything that says that it cannot be. See, we serve a God that will deliver us out of everything. Let's look at David for a minute. You know, David can be a type of us as believers. He faced a lot of obstacles. I don't know whether you ever studied the life of David very much, but man, from the time he got anointed to be king, he faced obstacles. Even before that, he faced obstacles. But he says in Psalms 34:17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. and save such as have a contrite spirit. And then look at verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Now, let's read that from the New Living. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all, say it with me, all. And look at those next, their troubles. Anybody here that's never had any trouble? Praise the Lord, I don't see any hands, or we had to have a prayer meeting. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person may face many problems, but the Lord comes to rescue each time. David was convinced that God would deliver him, no matter what he was involved in. Now, look at this. Look at David's experiences. He killed the lion and the bear as a teenager, guarding sheep. He killed Goliath as a teenager. He escaped King Saul, I don't know how many times. You know, he was victorious over the Philistines. He had many victories while he was the king of Israel. He even had to overcome his own son trying to form a coup and take the kingdom away from him. But he never lost his confidence in that God was his safety net, his rescuer, his deliverer. You might say it this way. His testimony was that God was faithful to perform his word every time. Every time. He said, you know, I like those scriptures because it says, the Lord delivers him out of them all. Now, that's a word that we have a lot of difficulty giving definition. What does all mean? What's the meaning of all? Everything. Well, what's the meaning of everything? See what I'm talking about? We might say it this way. There is nothing that you will face in your life that God can't take care of. How many of you believe that? See, we need to develop the same attitude that David had. That was that his God would deliver him out of everything. He believed that he would be triumphant over everything. That God would come in and raise him up. Now, the Apostle Paul, he is a very interesting study when you study the life of the Apostle Paul. Yet he was the one that wrote more about faith in the epistles than anybody else. Now, Jesus described faith in Mark 11, what it is. Paul then gives an exegesis in his gospels on how to live by faith. You ever notice Paul's writing and said, we live by faith? Anybody ever notice that? Now, he was also secure in the fact and had confidence in God that he would deliver him out of all his opposition. Look at what he says writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. I want you to notice that word perseverance. We got to learn to persevere. Persecution, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecution I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. I like to read that from the New Living. But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. But the Lord rescued me from all of it. I mean, that's Paul now in the New Testament talking to us that is now the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying the same thing that David said living under the old covenant. And in the old covenant, God was the deliverer. In the new covenant, God is the deliverer. You know, let's go and read about, in Acts 13, many of you have read it, about Paul down at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. In Acts 13, start with verse 45. But when some of the Jews saw the crowds, they were jealous, so they slandered Paul, argued against whatever he said. Then Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and declared it was necessary that we first preach the word of God to the Jews, but since you have rejected it and judged yourself unworthy of eternal life, we will offer it to the Gentiles. You know what they're saying is they preached to the Jews, they rejected it, said, okay, we're going to preach to these Gentiles then. Well, the Jews got mad about that. For the Lord gave us the command when he said that, I made you a light to the Gentiles to bring salvation to the furthest corners of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were very glad and thanked the Lord for his message and all who were chosen with eternal life. Now, I want you to notice that it says that Paul, I have been made a light to the Gentiles to bring salvation to the furthest corners of the earth. I want you to notice, if you will study his life, you will notice that he touched what was his world, that Roman world. He touched that whole Roman world. But now, his same teaching is still touching the Gentiles, who are us. So, the only world he knew at that time was that Roman world. Hello, anybody here? Y'all gone home? I'm trying to give you a little information as I go along and preach this, because this is good to understand. But now his teaching to the Gentiles is still effective. It's still being given to us. Verse 49 now, pick up. So the Lord's message spread throughout that region. Then the Jews stirred up the influential, richest religious women and the leaders of the city, and they incited a mob against Paul and Barnabas and ran them out of town. So they shook the dust from their feet as a sign of rejection and went to the town of Iconium. Now here they are again over here and preaching in Acts 14:1. The same thing happened in Iconium. Paul and Barnabas went into the Jewish synagogue and preached with such power that great numbers of Jews and Greeks became believers. Some of the Jews, however, spurned God's message and poisoned the minds of the Gentiles against Paul and Barnabas. But the apostles stayed there a long time, preaching boldly about the grace of the Lord. And the Lord proved their message was true, giving them power to do miraculous signs. But the people of the town were divided in their opinion about them. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. Then a mob of Gentiles and Jews, along with their leaders, decided to attack and stone them. And when the apostles learned of it, they fled to the region of Laconia, to the towns of Lystra and Derbe, and the surrounding area. At Lystra, the Jews dragged Paul out of the city and stoned him and left him for dead. Drop down there to verse 19. Then some Jews arrived from Antioch and Iconium, won the crowd to their side. They stoned Paul. This gives you how they did it. And a town dragged him out of town. They said, but the believers gathered around him and got up and went back into town. The next day, he left with Barnabas to Derbe. I want you to notice the believers gathered around him. They didn't say anything, but I'm sure they were speaking life to him. Amen. That's what we do, right? We gather around somebody. Now, Paul was delivered out of every one of these situations. And you know, as he was preaching, now it says in 14:21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city, they made many disciples and returned to Lystra, Antioch, and Iconium. Strengthened the souls of the disciples. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. I want you to notice that after they had been persecuted in these places, they said, God has delivered us. We'll go back now and strengthen the people, because they believed in God's deliverance. Sometimes we talk about believing in God's deliverance, but do you really understand God's deliverance? I believe we were delivered last night as we prayed. This is the same storm that hit El Reno earlier and wiped out a hotel and I don't know what all over there. Pretty extensive damage. But hey, we were speaking. Thank God in Tulsa, we got a lot of believers that know how to speak the word and believe that God will deliver us. I mean, it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to stand in the face of it and believe it. You know, I had the privilege of growing up under a man that believed the word. And I remember him and Dad and Brother B.B. Hankins. That's Mark Hankins' dad. My father preached for Brother B.B. many times. And there was a hurricane coming straight in there at West Columbia. And him, Brother B.B. and Dad stood in the front yard and pointed their finger and said, "You will not come in here." And the weatherman said, "We don't understand it, but that thing just made a 90-degree turn and went in up there." And some of the other preachers said, "Well, why'd you send it to us?" They said, "We didn't send it anywhere. We just told it not to come in here. Now you need to take care of your own territory." That was my dad. But you see, it's one thing to talk about it, but it's another thing to do it. It's another thing to be there and believe God. You know, years ago, when I went to Kenya, and we landed in Nairobi, and we were having some trouble with our connections, and we finally got a little small plane, and we got on it. They're going to take us to Kisumu, And just as we started landing at Kissimmee there, I took flying lessons, and I knew. I said to the pilot, I said, "Oh, we can't land." He said, "Well, I'm gonna try it." So he made a curve, and man, that storm was so strong, and he just kept making the turn, and he went and landed on a grass field, and he said, "Okay, get out there on that." He kicked us out, said, "I got to beat this storm back to Nairobi." He kicked us out and said, "There's a highway there. Go stand on it, catch a ride." Well, we caught a ride into Kericho, and we got in one of these, I don't know, they have these pickups that's got a bed built on the back of it, like a little hut or something. I don't know. Anyway, it got benches in it, and they pick people up, you know, and so they picked us up. We got in there, and they was about three or four big guys like Nate here. Stand up, Nate, so they can see you. And then, all right, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you. Him and Carlos are always hanging around me. I appreciate that, too. They're going to have to... Anybody come after me, they got to go through them guys before they're going to get to me. I praise the Lord for that. But I mean, I've been in the Army, and I've been around a little bit, and I understood some things. And I said, this ain't good, because they was looking at my camera case and at our suitcases. I said, this ain't good, man. This ain't good at all. And so I started praying. I said, "Lord," and then, you know, under my breath, I started praying. And the Lord, and I said, I claim protection in the name of Jesus. And I didn't get scared. I just, you know, I just knew the situation. Like Paul said, made a statement. I just knew the situation. Paul said there's opposition. He wasn't fearful, he just making a statement. Well, I knew the situation, and I knew this ain't good. For you other people, this is not good. And so the Lord said, because now we have been flying, we flew out in New York at night, landed in London, and we had all day in London waiting to fly that night to Nairobi. So now I hadn't been to bed since I left Tulsa, and then we flew all night to Nairobi. Now here it is, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm starting to get a little tired, about half asleep. So the Lord said, you know, in London you bought that big old candy bar. I had a big candy bar about like this that I bought in the airport. And he said, offer them some. Said, take a bite first yourself. So I broke a bite off for myself, and then I handed it to them, and I told them, keep it, you know. Well, they started smiling. Praise the Lord. And we were fine. Now, get to Kericho, and got this to the T Hotel, and that pilot had said that once you get there, you can get a taxi and go on over to Kissimmee. Well, we didn't know this. I'm going to tell this, and then I'll tell you. We got a taxi and got in a taxi, and I was so tired. I mean, I knew we were bumping all over the place. First of all, we went down to this place, and I said, oh, Lord, this ain't good either. So I started claiming I claimed the 91st Psalm, and I started speaking the word, and the guy come back out, and I mean, we were in a really bad section, and he got in the car, and we took off, and I'm so tired, I'm going to sleep, and we're hitting bumps and everything else, and we finally got to Kissimmee. And when I went back over those roads going back, when we drove back to Nairobi, it was all mountain roads and there's no guardrails. And it was raining and he was driving fast because I claimed protection. And I was asleep half the time. I couldn't stay awake. I'd wake up, quote a couple of scriptures and pray and go doze back off to sleep. You know, anybody know what I'm talking about? I hadn't been to sleep in 2 days, or in bed in 2 days. So now we get out of the car, and Brother Silas O'Witty meets us, and he said, "Oh, my Lord, when we heard what you were doing, I called a prayer meeting. The people come to church." And they were there at the church praying, because they said, "You don't know how many Americans." Now, this was back in 78, right? Yeah. "You don't know how many Americans have done this, and nobody ever seen them again." And so we thank the Lord, you know. The next morning, we realized I left my camera case with 35 mil cam and all kinds of lenses and everything in that. And I said, "Well, send somebody back." And said, "Well, you never get it back." But he sent one of the ministers, and I started saying, "I want to get that back in the name of Jesus. Because I have confidence that my God will deliver me from all my situations." That young pastor was able to find that cab, and they don't know how in the world that ever happened. And he come back with my camera case. I still got the thing somewhere around in storage somewhere. But you see, that I'm talking about, you can talk about whether you believe this, but wait till you get in the situations like that. See, it's one thing to talk it in church. It's one thing to hear say, "Oh yeah, praise the Lord, hallelujah." But it's another thing to be there, facing the situation. Look at Apostle Paul again. Let's talk about the Apostle Paul again. He said in 2 Corinthians 11:23, he starts out. He was sort of recanting some things. "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I'm more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequently, in death often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robber, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils of in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils in among false brethren, in perils are in weariness and toil and sleepless, often in hunger, thirst, fasting, often in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, my deep concern for the churches." See, these are the things Paul went through. And he said that God would deliver him. In fact, he said, "I always triumph in Christ Jesus." He went on to say, "Nay, in none of these things, can separate us from the power of God." He said, "We are more than conquerors." Come on now. You see, Paul's testimony was that the Lord, he lists all this stuff, the Lord delivered him out of it all. That was his testimony. And he said, that's why he could say, "I always triumphed in Christ Jesus." That was his confidence. You see, you know, we have a lot of troubles ourselves, all of us. But Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:13, "Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak." You see, we have the same spirit of faith. He was actually quoting from David what David had said. And we have the same spirit of faith that David and Paul had. And if they said that they were delivered out, that God delivered them out of all of their difficulties and their trials and tribulations, then we can believe and speak the word and believe and expect to be delivered ourselves. We need to raise our voice and speak to the situation. I had the privilege of being raised in the house of a man that believed that very strongly. In fact, that's the way he came off the bed of affliction. But you see, I want you to know that we need to declare that all of these things that we face, all of our problems, everything that comes, they are temporary. They have to pass, and we will be delivered. It says, God, he said, I deliver them out of them all. Every one of them. You know, in fact, Paul said these things are just temporary. You got to begin to look at anything you're going through. This temporary. God's going to deliver me. You see, actually, he called it a light affliction in 2 Corinthians 4:14. You know, we need to get to the point that we say, I may be facing this or that or whatever, but the Lord is working right now to deliver me out of it all. He doesn't want us to glorify our troubles, but to glorify God. So many times, many people talking about their trouble rather than talking about what God can do. Let me tell you what's going on. Hey, I don't care what's going on. What's the Bible say? Yeah. Amen. Anybody get anything out of this morning? God will deliver if you believe him. Yeah. Everybody stand up. I want you to say, we're going to make some declarations this morning. Don't say it unless you really believe it, okay? Say this with me. We declare, our God is faithful to deliver us. We declare the enemy is defeated, and those who raise up against us will suffer defeat. We declare God is for us, and nobody and nothing can stand against us. We declare there is more with us than they are with them. We declare greater is he than he that's in me than he that's in the world. We declare we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We declare that he will deliver us out of all of our situations, all, everything that the enemy brings against us, we declare by the word of God that we have victory. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and thank God that you have victory. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Well, just a moment. I don't like to minister unless I give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus or somebody to rededicate their life. Anybody here this morning, you don't know Christ, you can't get in on what we're talking about till you know him, or you need to rededicate your life. Anybody anywhere in the crowd? Praise the Lord. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Do you got something you want to sing, Brother Dan? All right, let's sing.
I say the enemy has been defeated, and death couldn't hold you down. We're going to lift our voice in victory. We're going to make your praises loud. The enemy has been defeated, and death couldn't hold you.
confidence in God. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Period. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Hey, tonight, 6 o'clock right here, Wednesday night, hour of power, but I won't be here. I leave this morning for 12 days, and they got me going every day. I go to London, to Croatia, Albania, where? Sicily, Athens, Thessalonica, and Malta. And they got me. I'm meeting with alumni and with pastors, and then having healing meetings at night. So you pray for me and Miss Lynette as we're there meeting with our alumni, meeting with pastors and talking to them, encouraging them, and you know, our Rhema schools, we're not going to any schools, we're going to the places. And as you can see, I'm just going bam, 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 bam. There, praise the Lord. I think I do get a few hours in some of the places, especially in Thessalonica and Athens, to see a few of the places where Paul was. And then we're at Malta. We get to see there. Remember, that's the island where he was shipwrecked on. You know, well, we got a Rhema grad there preaching the gospel. We're gonna meet with them and have lunch and talk with them and get to see a little bit there. Praise the Lord for that. I told them, I said, man, y'all working me hard. They said, well, we don't get you very often. So pray for us. That's where we'll be. We get back on June the 7th, I think. So praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Will he deliver us out of part of our troubles? Will he deliver us out of and protect us out of some things, but not all? Hey, even if something happens, he will turn it around for good and bring you out. See, that's what we got to believe. I mean, like with Paul, he shipwrecked, but it all turned out good. Come on now. Well, I better shut up. Praise the Lord. First-time guest, go find our first-time guest. We're so glad to have you with us. Like we said a while ago, if you're looking for a church home, welcome home. Just come on, be with us. We have a great time serving God Unlimited around here. Praise the Lord. Staff, y'all can go to the doors. I'm going to be at the north door for just a few minutes, and then I got to go and to the airplane and get in the air, because we leave here around noon, and we get into St. John's, Newfoundland about 7 o'clock tonight, and we will spend the night and then fly over the next morning. I never fly at night. I did that one time, and I never could get my schedule right. I'm up preaching when I'm trying to go to sleep, so I don't do that. I stop at night. These other people can fly at night if they want to. I'm not going to. God bless you. Sing a song, and they'll tell you when we dismiss, and I'm coming down that aisle there, so don't block me, okay?
Sing this out. 'Cause I know my God saved the day, and I know.